Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes along with Vince Ferrar. We are pleased now to be joined by longtime friend Chip Towers with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Chip covers the Georgia Bulldogs. Chip, how are you?
Well, I'm fantastic. I'm a little dizzy from following the events of, college football over the last 72 hours, but I think I got my bearings back and time to talk to you guys.
Does it strike you as being pretty odd that the SEC comes out with a schedule, the two opponents on a Friday night? The Big Ten right before that came out with their schedule. Now the Big Ten's talking about shutting it down. If you're talking about shutting it down, what was the purpose of coming out with your schedule at that point? Any thoughts on that?
Well, all of it's kind of weird. Look, I guess at the end of it all, we should be empathetic maybe of the leaders in college football and in college athletics, because the alternative to that is being impatient and annoyed with them. And it really is a very, very difficult thing they're trying to figure out. But, as I'm, really writing as we speak right now and about the post on the AJC, that the morning, began with a really rainy day, gloomy forecast, and it ended with, I think rainbows and sunshine. At the end of the day, you see, the UT chancellor and the Ole Miss AD and Greg Sankey coming out with very positive statements on their social media channels. So, this is not a day, even a day-to-day endeavor. It's an hour by hour, and at this hour, it looks pretty favorable, I would say, for the SEC staying on course to play.
I wanted to ask you about the schedule that was released, and a number of people have this opinion. I'm one of them, that it looked like the SEC was trying to sort of protect the upper echelon of the league and not inflict another possible loss on them. The way they scheduled Alabama and Georgia and who's the other one I saw there?
Florida and LSU.
Florida. LSU was one of them. LSU got Vanderbilt and Missouri. Georgia gets Arkansas, Mississippi State. Alabama gets Missouri, Kentucky. At least Florida has to play one of the top 15 teams in A&M. Did it look to you like the SEC was trying to take care of the upper echelon?
It did. In fact, it's kind of counterintuitive for me. I'm used to covering a Georgia team that its fan base is convinced that the SEC office is trying to screw them. And, adding Arkansas and Mississippi State, they obviously came out pretty good. And look, the one thing you're never going to get, Mark Womack or Greg Sankey or anybody in the SEC to get in great detail is about exactly how did you come up with that schedule? Was it mathematical or what? And I think, if we cut through all the bull, Jimmy, that at the end of the day, everything that's taking place in college football and in the SEC is to preserve television inventory. I mean, that's what I think is happening here. And, for that, you need good guys and bad guys for good TV. And, maybe they use some sort of power rankings based on expectations for the season, or maybe it was anecdotal, or maybe it just sort of turned out that way. But, if you're Arkansas or Missouri, I'm sure you're coming away going, are you kidding me? Seriously? I mean, we already had the toughest, the Arkansas said, we already had the toughest schedule in all of football, and now we have the toughest schedule in the history of college football. And, it's hard to argue with that when you see how it all turned out.
Well, Chip, the only argument I would have is the most difficult schedule in college football was when they had a 12-game schedule with non-conference games. Well, that went away a while ago, so you no longer have that title. You're right. They already had a tough schedule, and they got really laid it to them. I'm wondering, the storyline, as you know, Chip, between Georgia and Florida was that Florida had a little bit of a scheduling advantage going in. So I think some people that thought the two teams were close gave Florida maybe the edge in the East. now that we've seen those two games added and the strength of schedule is very similar between those two teams, how do you think that's been canceled out now in the end between Florida and Georgia, to where it'll be more on the field versus any schedule playing a factor?
Well, I don't think it's been completely evened out. I mean, I do think it was mitigated to some extent. A road trip to Texas A&M is no small task in any season. So I there's no question that added a difficulty factor to the Florida schedule that wasn't there before. And then, you know, home against Arkansas, who knows? Felipe Franks returns to Gainesville. If you look at the two, Georgia and Florida, I'd say Georgia made out better getting Mississippi State and Arkansas. But at Arkansas is nothing to sneeze at either. I mean, you know, it's the SEC, and all those places are tough to play at. But then there's the added factor of the crowds, right? If I had to guess sitting here today, and my goodness, who wants to guess in this day and age? But I would say you're looking at probably a 20% mandate by the SEC. I mean, whatever's going to happen on crowds, which hasn't been announced yet, on spectators, what I'm hearing is generally a CDC guidelines, social distancing, adhering setup, which in, by all indications is what you're doing in the NFL, is about 20%. So at Texas A&M in a season of COVID, it's not as difficult as at Texas A&M would be in a regular season, right? So, at the end of the day, you still got to play them and you still got to win them. And right now, we're just trying to get to a point where we're sure they're going to play them.
Chip, has there been any discussion that you've heard to play the Georgia-Florida game on campus versus in Jacksonville?
Well, that's something that certainly Georgia and Athletic Director Greg McGarity and Scott Strickland, for that matter, the Florida AD, are adamant about keeping it in Jacksonville. And, the pandemic being considered, they are contractually bound to play that game in Jacksonville if a game is played. Now, certainly the SEC could override that and they could play on campus, but, Greg McGarity was pretty outspoken, and he's not very outspoken on a whole lot of things, but he was pretty outspoken about saying, we don't want, because this year Georgia has the home game, so, Florida comes to Georgia and plays in front of 20,000 fans or 19,000, and then Georgia would return the game to Gainesville next year and play before 90,000. That wouldn't be fair to anybody involved, so I think if this gets played, it's going to go ahead and be played in Jacksonville, which in that stadium, they're adhering to NFL rules anyway with the Jaguars, which right now the plan is for a 20% crowd. So, again, you're talking about a significantly reduced spectator base for that game, whether it's played in Jacksonville, Gainesville, or Athens.
I guess Chip Towers with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Chip, we had Philip Fulmer on, Tennessee's athletic director, recently. He said that he's looking for like 20 to 50% at capacity at Neyland Stadium, 50% being on the high end of it, but more likely it'll be 20 to 25%, maybe 33%. What's Georgia looking at? What have you heard they're trying to accomplish or what their goal would be?
Well, what I'm hearing is that you're not going to have it done piecemeal like that, where Tennessee has 50%, Georgia has 20%, and so on. This is going to be like everything else. That's what's taken everything so long to get decided, is the SEC is going to mandate all of this stuff, and so that there's not any kind of advantages that can be even perceived on the far end of it. And all indications are 20% is the model that's going to end up getting utilized.
And I'm going to assume that they're not going to be providing tickets for visiting teams, right?
Yeah, that's where we haven't gotten down in the weeds yet. And I'm so fascinating to find out, right? Because, I mean, if you're talking about 20% of Sanford Stadium, this is the only one that I've looked in to, you know, in great detail. You're talking about, you know, a little bit over 19,000. It holds about 93,000. So you're looking about at a little bit over 19,000. Well, you know, the regular allotment for students is 17,000, maybe 17,000 plus. So those students are coming back on campus. Georgia students are returning on August 20th. I had a conversation today with a UGA official who told me in no uncertain terms that's going to happen. I mean, regardless of what the pandemic does, these students are coming back, and all these protocols are being put in place. But now, how do you break it down? So if you just let all your students that want to go, I mean, technically you could have as many as 17,000. Well, that doesn't leave a whole lot left over. You know, for I think the next accommodation you got to make is player families, and once you know they're promised on the regular 4 tickets a person. So, you know, you get the 19,000 pretty doggone fast without, you know, carrying one iota of your fat cat donors, right? And there's a lot of those people out there. So I'm not sure how that's going to look. And again, I think it'll probably be fairly dictated by the conference. But I do think that the students and parents need to come first in this equation. I know all these donors give a lot of money to these programs and deserve. I mean, that, you know, you can say whatever you want about that philosophically. But the fact of the matter is they've laid down their money for the right to be there. But at the end of the day, I think player families and students need to be catered to first. That's just my opinion. You know, we'll have to see how they decide to go with it.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see how that breaks out. That 17,000 for Georgia is a whole lot more than what Tennessee allots its students. So
is that right? Numbers. Yeah, it's actually recently been expanded because they had so many. But, of course, you know, a lot of that stuff, you know, trends along cyclical lines of how the programs are going. You know, and Georgia's rolling right now, and all the students want in. But that was always the case, and certainly Tennessee has a huge season ticket fan base, and you know, you got to cater to those people too. So it's always a tough equation for you know, ticket managers to figure out.
Yep, it's going to be interesting. Hey, Chip, thank you so much. We appreciate you joining us.
All right, thanks, see you on the other side.
Yes, sir. That is Chip Towers with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. We appreciate him visiting with us, and he joins us on the Stanley Fencing Gates hotline.